uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. It is now the second end of the 3rd of August, 2011. Glad you could join us and be here with us tonight. And we're going to be getting into all the day's news and information as well as our continued reading from the Lost Book of Enki for you here tonight. As well on the show, we love to have emails from you during the broadcast and any other time as well. But if you're ever listening live or listening on a rebroadcast and you say, well, I'd like to ask him this question or that, or, you know, I'd like to see what he has to say about this, always send that over to my email at globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. You can always send those over there and we'll do my best to get into those on the air for you here on the radio show. Hope you're having a good night. Hope you're staying cool out there. Hope you've been staying cool this summer. It's pretty much anywhere you live, I think it's just massive drought and insane heat. I think we hit, I don't remember what, 108, 110. I think I quit counting at 108. They tell me it may have went hotter than that today, and I think it's going to be even hotter tomorrow or in the next day. 110 here in Texas. Unusual temperature. We're usually hot, but not like this. You know, I mean, with everything we know that's going on and has gone on for quite a bit of time with weather warfare. I mean, look, Soviet Union did this to us back in the 1970s as well with their own HAARP-style facility, the Sura, S-U-R-A, Sura ionospheric heating system that they had back in the 1970s. And so there's, with this weather modification technology that we know about, We know that it's possible for them to do this, but we also know it's possible for them to stop this from happening. That's the other big lie about it. I don't think that's focused on enough. You know, everybody always talks about what they do as far as creating or, you know, creating droughts, creating this, but, you know, they can also cause it to rain. So there's no reason why we should have any droughts, anything of this nature, and there's no reason why we should think that it isn't anything but an absolute operation and something that they're absolutely doing with intent and causing to happen. Because again, you know, we know the technology, it's old technology. It's been there for decades. We would not have to be suffering these heat storms and drought and everything else unless they wanted it to happen that way. And they've done scientific studies, you know, that the heat makes people go crazy. It makes them do crazy things. This is part of the, what I believe to be this larger ongoing operation to foment a new civil war. And I think we're moving closer and closer to that every day. So we'll continue to document that here, get into all the news for you here tonight on the show. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. You can go there and find the links to listen to the stream live, all my documentary films, mini films, clips, old radio show archives, CDs of my band The Demigods are up there. You can get my films, well, lots of stuff going on, news as well. They're all at the website, theglobalreality.com. We also have That's where you support us at. We don't have a new chipping banner up for the month. And but me and my webmaster, man, Hydra, have talked about maybe not putting one up. I don't know. But either way, how we keep going forward here is with support. We don't have advertising. We don't have sponsors. We don't make you sit through any of that or try to sell you anything. But in order to maintain that, we have to have a lot more support. The last 2 or 3 months have been dreadful for us in the middle of the month, meaning we'll get what we'll scrape by and barely get our ability to pay our bills at the first of the month, and then the rest of the month until the end of the month, we're not getting anything in. So right now, please donate. If you didn't donate and support this month and you wanted to and you were going to and you saw that, because I think that happens sometimes. Somebody says, oh, well, somebody else will donate, or somebody else already has, so I don't need to. And that's just flat not correct. If you're going to donate or you just think you don't because you think somebody else is going to, that's not helping us. So please go to the website, theeagleradio.com, and support our work there at the website. All right, let's get into the news tonight. Everybody's talking about the Super Congress thing. I wasn't really going to talk about it that much because I try not to spend a lot of time on this show, folks, talking about stuff that you should already know. And I'm not one of those patriot truther type shows either. So, I'm not going to sit up here and beat the dead horse about, unconstitutional that, unconstitutional this, and tyranny and take over that. Hey, I mean, I've been doing that for almost 4 years trying to tell you. You should know by now that's coming. And it is here. We've been under a coup in this country, a silent coup, a takeover since 9/11/2001. I mean, if you think there's any sort of, the United States government is a sham. It's been a sham for a long time. It's smoke and mirrors. Didn't they talk about in some of these FEMA documents that we've seen through the years declassified or leaked or what have you, or some of these Patriot Act documents, of which there's billions of pages of? Didn't they talk about, wasn't it like continuity of government documentation or something like that, where they talked about in the event that, part of the American government was wiped out, they would have something that very almost the equivalent of this Super Congress thing? I swear that was in the continuity of government documentation that came out a couple of years ago, 2007, 2008, I can't remember. Some of you may remember and back me up on that. Correct me if I'm wrong, I swear there was something that we've seen over the past few years in documentation that talked about continuity of government, and that during continuity of government, they would have essentially, a secret Congress or, a super Congress type thing. It'd be four from over here on the left, four from on the right. And that was something in the effect of, if the president, the vice president, and the, secretary of state all got wiped out, that's what it would go to. And, for all we know, that has happened. For all we know, these people they've been showing us on TV are actors and lookalikes and everything. Who knows? But, I hear people, they can't do that. It's unconstitutional. Well, the Constitution hasn't ever meant anything for anybody except the white aristocratic landowners and the people that are in charge and in power and positions in the government. That's all it was set there to was to protect them and to protect their system, not you and I and the rest of people. That's a lie and another illusion. Don't get all caught up in that. So again, it just strikes me as odd that this shit shocks people. I remember the night, in fact, you can go watch the video on YouTube. I know some of the people in the chat room were there when I did that broadcast back in 2008. I know Guyman was in there. Pretty sure John Doe was in there. The election night video I did, it's up on YouTube where, just minutes after the election of Barack Obama back in 2008, I went live on the Justin TV channel. And everybody I saw in every chat room and everybody I talked to just, oh my God, it's the end of America. Oh my God, I can't believe Obama's been elected. Oh my God. And we've been talking about it for 2 years and it was, foregone conclusion. He was going to be elected, blah, blah, blah. And then the night it happened, everybody was in total shock. And I just got on there on that video and was like, you know, why the fuck are you guys acting like this is any kind of a surprise? You knew it was coming. You knew he was going to get elected, but now you're mad about it. And that's the same way I feel about this stuff. You guys are just now getting mad because the end of America and the destruction of America is here. You guys are just now getting mad because, you know, everything you've read about and maybe thought was true actually was true. You better wise up. I know a lot of you out there think that this is like a hobby and that you can just, you know, listen to this stuff for entertainment value. One of these days you're going to realize, hopefully, that this stuff is indeed real and is indeed happening. I got chased off every network I was on starting back in like 2008 because I was going on every network I was on and going up to these, 9/11 truthers and telling them that 9/11 was going to be the issue that brought the United States down. So those 9/11 truthers all would tell you that, oh, 9/11 truth, that's the issue that was going to wake people up. I started telling people that, had the worst shit to say about me about that. Still do. And guess what? Now it's here. See, because I always said they're not going to blame it on, you know, Mossad or you know, the priest class or the higher power structure. It'll just be blamed on America. And here we are. We've got Vladimir Putin saying things like, you know, we're the parasite of the world economy and, it's clear that 9/11 is an inside job. These world power structures are starting to move and shift around. And, old superpowers are falling by the wayside. Newer ones are rising up. And when you look at what they're doing and look at what they've done with this super Congress stuff and this debt ceiling phony thing, it was absolutely nothing, but gave them more of an extended license to steal and to ensure that we absolutely go down. I think you'd have to be a fool at this point not to see the fact that they are going to eventually come out with the truth about 9/11. All you 9/11 truthers out there are going to get your wish. The truth about 9/11 is going to come out in a large way, and it's going to come out on the world stage. But it is going to be the issue that is going to be used to bring this country down, whether you like it, whether you want to accept it or not. And it's already happening. And, I was talking about that 2 years ago and people said I was crazy. Now it's a lot of people don't really get those people saying I'm crazy anymore. You start to see it. A lot more people see it now than they did then. All this stuff happened we've had so many disasters over the past year. People just forget about, people have completely forgotten about what happened in the Gulf. People have almost forgotten about, the earthquake in Chile. Or the earthquake in Haiti, they have completely forgotten about the earthquake in New Zealand. People are getting have just about forgotten about Japan. Even though we have this report, Tokyo Electric Power Company, operator of Japan's crippled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, said it has detected the highest radiation to date at the site. Notice how none of these people want to talk about what happens if this thing just goes completely, totally meltdown. I mean, what is it? Something like 1 pound of plutonium or something like that in the atmosphere. 1 pound of plutonium is enough to kill every living organic organism on the planet. Yet we have at any given time 100 to 200 pounds of this stuff floating around in satellites in our atmosphere. I mean, the plan is to make sure that, the population is kept at numbers they can deal with. We get too big, we become too powerful. And I think they are, when they get their new Civil War scenario, I think they are going to break up the United States into a bunch of different factions. You'll have, they want to make it like Europe, man. It's going to be like a bunch of European countries. We want to make all the states over here a bunch of little, proxy countries. So that if we have war with each other, we're at a lot closer proximity to have war with each other, you see? Have little area of the United States will be China, little area of the United States will be Russia, little area of the United States will be you know, whatever country. They'll probably just go ahead and make Hawaii, Japan, the new Japan, Japan 2.0. Move all the Japs over to Hawaii. Chinese rush to buy U.S. land. This shouldn't surprise anybody. But again, they're getting ready to create proxy countries within the United States once they break it up and default us. One Chinese office worker paid $8,800 through an online auction by chance and bought 1,000 square meters of land in Miami. The U.S. Guangzhou Daily reported on Wednesday. Florida-based seller United Solutions of America, LLC, said the land belonged to a company near bankruptcy. Zhang Nuo, the auction host from Chinese property agency Salfon International, said the land seller also put 100 pieces of 1,000 square meter land up for auction and will offer 30 U.S. investment immigration application forms for the Chinese group buyers who spend more than $200,000. So they're offering, they're marketing this land to the Chinese, and they're offering them immigrant application forms to get them going. See, so they're marketing the selling of America to the Chinese folks. You can't argue it. The 100 pieces of land sold out on July 22nd from 73 Chinese buyers. One of them bought 20 pieces. Little proxy countries within the United States borders. That's what we're going to end up being. Pretty interesting stuff here. They've determined that aerosols, now we know what that is. You and I know what that is. But here in this Associated Press, it's EurekaAlert.org. This you know, defines aerosols as, you know, things from, you know, particulates in the climate from volcanoes and dust and ash and all the rest of this stuff. But they're saying now that aerosol particulates in the atmosphere that are quote unquote naturally occurring, they say, are actually combating global warming and keeping the planet cooler. So what does that tell us? I mean, I don't think I've ever seen, I'll drop a link to this in the chat room. I don't think I've ever seen a more glaring admission of the fact that the reason that they are spraying chemtrails is to cool the planet down. I mean, it's right there in black and white. Aerosol particles, including soot and sulfur dioxide from burning fossil fuels, essentially mask the effects of greenhouse gases and are at the heart of the biggest uncertainty in climate change prediction. New research from the University of Michigan shows that satellite-based projections of aerosols' effect on Earth's climate significantly underestimate their impacts. Aerosols are at the core of cloud droplets, water particles suspended in air that coalesce to form precipitation. Bullshit. Bullshit. Sorry, I had a little cough there. Increasing the number of aerosol particles causes an increase in the number of cloud droplets, which results in brighter clouds that reflect more light and have a greater cooling effect on the planet. As to the extent of their cooling effect, scientists offer different scenarios that would raise the global average surface temperatures during the next two decades to over 3 degrees Celsius. Well, that's what the spraying of particles and particulates does up there. It naturally creates a greenhouse effect. So they trap the heat down at the ground level, and that's what causes all of these effects we see. It's just utter horseshit, but a big admission there. Oh, this is one of those ones you wake up to in the morning when you're looking at news, and you're like, oh, you about fucking spill your coffee on your groin while you're looking at this shit. Half of European men share King Tut's DNA. What? I mean, I love it, man. Another phrase I coined a while back, yesterday's conspiracy is today's accepted fact. I mean, this is just off the charts. Because, you know, I mean, you can trace a fact. You can trace back the Bushes and any of these other, you know, hereditary dictator families all the way back to Egypt, all the way back to the Bushes specifically. You can trace all the way back to Ramses II. Up to 70% of British men and half of all Western European men are related to the Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun, geneticists in Switzerland said. Scientists at Zurich-based DNA genealogy center reconstructed the DNA profile of the boy pharaoh who ascended the throne at the age of 9. His father, Akhenaten, and grandfather, Amenhotep III, based on a film that was made for the Discovery Channel. The results showed that King Tut belonged to a genetic profile group known as haplogroup R1B1A2, to which more than 50% of all men in Western Europe belong, indicating that they share a common ancestor. I wonder who that could be. Among modern-day Egyptians, this haplogroup contingent is below 1%, according to Igenia. It was very interesting to discover that he belonged to a genetic group in Europe. There were many possible groups in Egypt that the DNA could have belonged to. Around 70% of Spanish and 60% of Frenchmen also belong to the genetic group of the pharaoh who ruled Egypt more than 3,000 years ago. We think the common ancestor lived in the Caucasus about 9,500 years ago. It is estimated that the earliest immigration of haplogroup R1B1A2 into Europe began with the spread of agriculture in 7,000 BC. However, the geneticists were not sure how Tutankhamun's paternal lineage came to Egypt from its region of origin. The center is now using DNA testing to search for the closest living relatives of King Tut. The offer has been publicized for 3 days, but we have already seen a lot of interest. Yeah, see, this is what I've been talking about for a long time. They're looking for something. They're looking for specific traits and characteristics in people on the planet. I've been speculating and talking about this for over a decade now, long before I was ever doing radio or making films or anything. It's something I just had one of those gut feelings about a long time ago, or came to me in a, you know, a dream or what have you, I don't know, or an acid trip, I don't know. For the longest time, I've had this hunch or this gut feeling that that they're looking for, they really essentially want to wipe out, kind of like Hitler wanted to do, large sections of the population or the sections of the population that can't be traced back to pharaonic bloodlines or Merovingian bloodlines or whatever have you. And this could play a huge part in eugenics, much larger than we have any idea of. So it's just fascinating to see a story like that. Let's see what else they have here for us tonight. Tell the government to ban nanoparticles in food and pesticides. Nanoparticles cross the blood-brain barrier, posing a significant threat to human DNA and that of other life forms. Currently, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency allows nanoparticles in pesticides and in the food supply with no regulation whatsoever. Nanotechnology is a powerful new platform technology for taking apart and reconstructing nature at the atomic and molecular level. Just as the size and chemical characteristics of manufactured nanoparticles can give them unique properties, those same new properties, tiny size, vastly increased surface area to volume ratio, high reactivity, can also create unique and unpredictable human and health environmental risks. Yeah. I mean, we could very, very well have small nanorobots inside of us, all of us, right now, and not even know it. The technology's there. It's been there for a long time. In 2008, NanoAction filed a petition demanding that the EPA regulate nanosilver as a unique pesticide that can cause new and serious impacts on the environment. The 100-page petition calls on EPA to regulate these nanotechnology products as new pesticides, requiring labeling of all products, assesses health and safety data before permitting marketing, analyze the potential human health effects, particularly on children, and analyze the potential environmental impacts on ecosystems and endangered species. Last month, the FDA finally released draft guidelines, which are voluntary and is seeking public comment. So that right now, it's completely unregulated. They can just pump as much of this stuff into the food, nanoparticles, whatever, into the food chain, no regulation whatsoever. And believe me, folks, if you think for a second that, you know, they're not doing that when they have the full blanket legal ability to do it, shit. Oh, this is in my neck of the woods, guys. A couple of hour, an hour and a half or so away, but well, I guess it's out in West Texas. I guess it's farther than that, but still. Oh, this is San Angelo. Not to, I thought this was closer to me. Never mind. But anyway, nonetheless, still in Texas. A Texas lake has turned blood red this summer. May not be a sign of the end times, but probably the end of a popular fishing spot. Yeah, it's. Everybody's thinking, oh, my God, San Angelo was turning red. It's my God. Oh, my God.
Suck Satan's cock.
Oh, my good God, it's turning red. That means the Lord is coming back to save the Jews.
Suck Satan's cock.
Oh. I mean, everywhere you turn now, it's the end, you know, oh, my God, it's out of the end times. Oh, my God. I mean, everywhere. I don't know if you guys saw this. This made me laugh my ass off yesterday. The head of Norway's intelligence agency. Now, even if this was an operation, and we have a lot of evidence to support the fact that it indeed was, regardless of it being an operation, let's just say for a second that actually this was a real event and this guy's pictures weren't CGI and all this stuff and he wasn't a fake creation, which he probably was. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me something like this would happen in Norway when you have, you ever see that movie Team America with a computer intelligence? Let's ask intelligence. And the computer was just a fucking dumbass. Well, it seems that they have that same problem in Norway. The head of Norway's intelligence agency, I can't even fucking spit this out. This is so priceless. The head of Norway's intelligence agency, Jan Kristiansen, said that she believes that the accused terrorist Anders Breivik received plastic surgery to look more Aryan. Now that's not the kicker. Here's the kicker. But, I mean, I guess that's what they're saying. Oh, he had plastic surgery. That's why he looks fake in all the pictures. Yeah. This is the quote from the head of Norway's intelligence agency. Are you ready for this? You better sit down. Quote, "You do not have that Aryan look naturally in Norway." You're fucking kidding me, right? This is obviously a joke. I mean, this is a ha-ha, funny ha-ha joke article, right? The head of Norway's intelligence agency says you don't normally have that Aryan look in Norway. Pray tell, where would you have that Aryan look? I mean, my God. Norse gods and everything. I mean... Have we really degenerated to that level of idiocy? Again, you know, stage operation or not, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if people are getting shot and killed when the head of Norway's intelligence agency says, you don't really have that Aryan look naturally in Norway. Really? Really? Well, I'll sleep better tonight knowing you guys are in charge. Holy fuck. I mean, how retarded do they think that we are? You don't normally have that Aryan look in Norway. Oh my God. I love it. That's the head. That's your quote from the head of Norway's intelligence. You don't normally have that Aryan look in Norway. Really? Bitch, where are you from? She's probably not even from Norway. Jesus. Obviously, you're not a golfer. The very real plans to put Marines in space. Oh, boy. Ah, Marines weren't fucking bad enough on the ground. We need them. Oh, space. We're putting Marines in space. Hoorah. Hoorah, I'm going to space. Hoorah. Hoorah, I'm going to space.
going to kill some people in space. Ain't enough killing going on down here. I'm going to kill me some more up there in their space. I'm going to kill them green people. I'm going to eat them. First to fight, first to die. Marines, hoorah. I'm going to space.
When the Marine Lieutenant Colonel Roosevelt LaFontaine first started pushing the idea of the space plane for the U.S. Marine Corps in 2002, skeptics didn't even bother to suppress their laughter, but now with the concept of operations, a former military document that lays out how a particular weapon system would be used, and a completed but not yet released Pentagon roadmap for the technology, people are beginning to take note of the small unit space transport and insertion. The notional concept of a marine space plane. Yeah, they want to be able to drop them in from space so they can get anywhere on the planet instantaneously. Got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be your worldwide police force right here. They can drop troops anywhere on the planet within minutes. Be right at your door if they need to be. Jeez. Ancient city discovered deep in the Amazonian rainforest linked to the legendary white-skinned cloud people of Peru. Nazi lesbian hookers abducted by UFOs and forced into weight loss programs. Here we go again. These fucking news stories, man. Every day it's, you know, UFO found sunk at the bottom of the ocean. New genetic discovery that the Anunnaki are real. Your DNA can now be patented because it doesn't come from nature. It actually comes from the Anunnaki. Blah, blah. I mean, every day. There's some kind of new fucking story that comes. It's just. And that's why I'm not going to spend my time harping on, you know, the CNN of America. No, wait, let me do it right. Let me do it. I'm not going to spend my time harping on Fox is the end of America, Fox. They're bringing this country down, man. I'm just. Because I got shit, you know, I got ancient Amazon city discovered deep in the Amazonian rainforest linked to the legendary white skinned clown people of Peru. My fuck. A lost city discovered deep in the Amazon rainforest could unlock the secrets of a legendary tribe. Little is known about the cloud people of Peru, an ancient white-skinned civilization wiped out by disease and war in the 16th century. But now archaeologists have uncovered a fortified citadel in a remote mountainous area of Peru known for its isolated natural beauty. It is thought this settlement may finally help historians unlock the secrets of the whole warriors of the clouds. The tribe had white skin and blonde hair. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, come on. Features which intrigue us. Yeah. So they had white skin and blonde hair in fucking Peru, but you don't normally see those kind of Aryan features in Norway, you know. I mean, you'd see those more in Peru, but never in Norway. I mean, you know, that's really where the Aryans came from. Peru, right? The rainforest. Yes, let's move on. And look, man, you got to laugh at this stuff. I don't know how you can. It's more ridiculous by the day. You're going to survive. You're going to live. Your life is not going to be over because we're heading into all the things that you've been reading about and listening to hear people like me talk about for years. It's not going to be the same, but like I talked about last night, a lot of people are going to make it and a lot of people aren't. You need to make a decision right now. Are you going to stay clinging to these old ideas of what you were programmed and conditioned to know, think about, you know, America, beautiful, my country, where my forefathers died. You know, I mean, that's the shit that they programmed you with, that to prey on you with it later and use it against you. It's a weapon. And a lot of people are not going to, don't want to carry it. If
America ain't here, I don't want to live.
Well, number one, that's a bad attitude. And number two, it's an attitude they want you to have because they can very well use it against you, and that's what's coming. You got to make a decision. Do you want to live and survive, or do you want to live and survive only if, you know, the idea of your border or your country stays intact? And like I said last night, man, a lot of people are going to make it. A lot of people aren't. But the time is here now. It's not just coming anymore. The tribe had white skin and blonde hair, features with which intrigue historians, as there is no known European ancestry in the region where most inhabitants are darker skinned. The citadel is tucked away in one of the most far-flung areas of the Amazon. It sits at the edge of a chasm, which the tribe may have used as a lookout to spy on enemies. The main encampment is made up of circular stones overgrown by jungle over 12 acres, according to archaeologist Benedict Goetia Perez. Rock paintings cover some of the fortifications, and next to the dwellings are platforms believed to have been used to grind seeds and plants for food and medicine. Yeah, food and medicine, my ass. Some motherfuckers are making ayahuasca down there. Tell me, Bubba, I know what they're doing down there in the rainforest. Fuck. Down there in Peru, shit. You know, those guys are drinking ayahuasca by the gallon down there. They get fucked up talking to the sky gods. That's what they're doing. Shit. We think we got it figured out. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, surprise. Google Plus, the fastest growing social network ever. You guys seen this operation going on? They got everybody hooked with MySpace first. That was how they tested the waters. Then they dumped MySpace, got everybody to transit over to Facebook. Got everybody on Facebook, got everybody to give up plenty of info, plenty of privacy. And now they are making a gigantic move to move Facebook over to Google Plus, which will then feed anything and everything you do in social networking directly into the NSA and Echelon systems. And that is a fact because Google, when the demise of Echelon became the NSA and became the spying structure. And they are creating a massive operation right now to get everybody to migrate over to Google Plus. So that then they, you know, the idea of having to get permission to, you know, get information or data mine, it won't even be an issue. They don't even have to ask permission anymore. Everything will just feed off of Google straight into the NSA drives, and that'll be it. So they're, yeah, the fastest growing social network ever. Yeah, that's exactly what they want. Exactly what they want. Oh, here's another plant for you. This guy's such a, oh God, such a lying cocksucker. Wonder what secret society he's a part of. You can just tell he's a little secret society goon. Michio Kaku, popular author and professor of theoretical physics at the City College of New York, appeared Tuesday on Fox News to explain some theories about how crop circles are created. Oh, really? Fox News rolling out Michio Kaku to talk about crop circles, huh? Not that I, you know, don't think that's interesting or important to talk about, but doesn't it seem a bit odd they'd be rolling that kind of stuff out on Fox News with everything else we've got going on in politics and everything else right now? It's usually the staple of Fox News. Why are they going out of their way to try to bring Michio Kaku out on Fox News and tell us crop circles are absolutely fake and they're made with microwaves and the rest is not? No, obviously there are a lot of crop circles that are man-made and they're done with trickery and whatever other techniques, but then there are some that are found to be using plasma that's coming from outer space. So, you know, there's a lot of unexplained stuff there, but very interesting they bring Michio Kaku out on Fox in the middle of all this stuff going on in the world and actually take time, and I think there's a clip here. But they actually take time out of their broadcast day to spend the time to try to debunk crop circles. Who cares? I mean, who cares if people think they're real or they're fake? Why is that an important time to spend advertisers' money for on a Fox News show? There's only one answer to that. It's serving the much larger operation. Obviously, there's something going on with these crop circles that they can't explain away and could very well be getting the attention of a lot of people very soon. So that's just odd. I just saw that and I thought, that's just strange. I talked about this earlier about, you know, the setting the climate for the new Civil War. Seems I'm not the only one saying that. Seems that Der Spiegel out of Germany is saying the same thing now. A Civil War atmosphere in Washington. After weeks of acrimony, the U.S. Senate voted Tuesday on a compromise measure to raise the country's debt ceiling. They're talking about, you know, this is looking like the lead up to a new Civil War. I couldn't agree more. And again, we see everything is about divide and conquer. Get you on the left, get you on the right. You know, let's get some race wars going. Let's have some cops, you know, shooting black guys while they're laying on their stomachs and killing them, you know, all this stuff. Further dividing us against each other, not uniting us against them, the real problem. Talk about psyops. Here's another one for you. Marvel Comics reveals the new Spider-Man is black and he could be gay in the future. He started his life as a white science geek living with his uncle, but now, to reflect the racial changes in America, Spider-Man has been given a makeover as a half-black, half-Latino teen. Miles Morales has replaced Peter Parker as the face behind the famous web mask Marvel Comics has revealed. So they kill off the white dude who's been the staple and who's been always been that. See, that's another psychological operation, just like giving you a president right after 9/11, right after you're told Muslims are living under your bed and going to kill you. They give you a president with a Muslim-sounding name, Barack Hussein Obama. Give me a fucking break. It's like PSYOP, folks. Same thing here. I don't give a damn if Spider-Man's black, white, Mexican, or anything. It's of no consequence to me. But the point of the matter is that they're doing this to encroach on people and to get people to have a reaction to it. Oh, I can't believe Spider-Man's a damn nigger spick now. He was always white when I was growing up. Now they made him a damn queer nigger spick. Well, it figures. That's where his whole damn country's going to, being run over by nigger queer spicks. You know, I mean, that's what this is for. It's designed to do. Who cares? It's a comic book. Who cares what color he is or what sexual orientation he is? Shit, Marvel had a gay character. I can't remember who it was. They had a gay character back in the 90s. I mean, back when I was a kid, they had a, you know, I mean, who cares? Well, they're doing this to create more division, to create more divide and conquer, and to get you on a side about something so that you'll be enraged and want to fight your neighbor about it. We have much bigger fish to fry. You and I and your neighbor and each other, we're not the problem. It's the people in charge. It's these lying motherfuckers who just keep us on constant goose, you know, wild goose hunts. Oh, it's the Jews. It's the Jews over here. Oh, it's this group over here. Oh, whoa, whoa, no, no, no. Look at this stuff for yourself and figure out what's going on here. It's going to be funny to sit back and watch all this stuff go down. That's all I can say at this point. Seven foods so unsafe farmers won't eat them. Canned tomatoes, corn-fed beef, microwave popcorn, conventionally grown, not organic potatoes, farmed salmon, milk produced with artificial hormones, conventional apples. This is an old article, 2010. I thought it was new. But, yeah, it's funny. Some of these things, even, you know, even farmers are like, I'm not eating that. Fuck that shit. Amazing. Anyway, we're going to take a break, come back. It's all our news for tonight. And we'll get into Lost Book of Inky for you here tonight on the show. Love to have your emails. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. This is the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network with me, your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us.
picture of you in your birthday suit.
Mutation. It is the key to our evolution. It has enabled us to evolve from a single-celled organism into the dominant species on the planet. This process is slow, normally taking thousands and thousands of years. But every few hundred millennia, evolution leaps forward.
There are approximately about 66 trillion cells intricately divided in the human body. Beyond retinal overstanding, a genetic remnant. A biological duplication, a breed from transduplicating, multiplying, replicating organisms, performing the primary re-evolution engineering process while splicing and cloning the chromosomes from the microscopic chaotic universal collective archetype, theoretically modified and built by the Anunnaki Elohim. We are the microcosm of the macrocosm, personifying by both sound and electromagnetic energy. From mortality I become immortality. I am the link that was lost between the gene of the chimpanzee. Sapien, a germinated seed, transported and manufactured within the biomatrix of a dolphin, taken from Cyrus B to the laboratories of Shemp, the artificially inseminated within the divine genes of Abernethy. Upon my arrival in the celestial waters of Key, what more from a sperm cell to a seed? The supreme being metamorphosizing and was taken from the hermaphrodite breed, a species conceived out of antibodies of mitochondria, DNA and RNA, seeded inside the cytoplasma. Sulfuric elixir within every symbiote. It is a cell implanted within the center core of the midi-chlorine. There beneath the primordial seeds of chaos lies the incorporation of an angelic being, the fifth element being consumed within the womb of an etheric cold womb, oxidizing like the solid form of gold. My brain cells begin to implode from the submergence of symbiotic organic growth, from the resurrection of 70 and 6 trillion embryos, a fetus that evolved from ambrosia, crystallized from star sofa, recalibrated from the anepa, implanted inside protozuma, and from the smallest particle in the universe, he Rasulullah became the Aetherian, manifesting from point one into point two throughout the periodical table of elements, throughout the periodical table of elements.
What are midichlorians?
Midichlorians are a microscopic life form that resides within all living cells.
They live inside me.
Inside your cells, yes. And we are symbionts with them.
Symbionts?
Life forms living together for mutual advantage. Without the midichlorians, life could not exist. And we would have no knowledge of the Force.
Registering as nothingness, yet existing as the assisting element which lies just beyond the etheric threshold at the abode, which gives each planet a radius to rotate properly around the sun. I begun before weight, before shape, before space, before that meager place called the primordial state in which I had to incarnate and debate on whether to incarnate into a state of definition.
definition was my transition from density as intensity increased. I reach for the soul, trying to uncoil the kundalini without spatial orientation. The latent manifestation of existence omitted the creation of resistance. Within an instance, my sounds fell beyond the corpses. The tuning fork with transposes the dolphin walking as the Vulcan deity. On the evolutionary scale of the whale, I inhale the clone of harmonic overtone grown within vegetation as gestation began in the womb of atom. My nostrils began to form as the storm rages at the seventh point of darkness. The flying saucers brought the carcass. The starship levitates but hesitates to bring forth the breath of life. The Zodokites unite to question my authority. My limbs begin to extend, so I bend each, trying to reach within as I begin to drain the sun's hydrogen. And magnesium fills my lungs as my tongues begin to form. Out of a magnetic grid, the pyramid slid into my... My nose begin to expose tachyon energy. Order of the centipede, assembly of protein, wean me into and go. Then I am extinct, better known as the missing link.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution.
The seeds of life are born in the depth of stars. Aging giants that explode into supernovas, blasting oxygen, carbon, and hydrogen atoms into the emptiness of space. Atoms critical for life. The gift of stardust.
Submerged in the water, separating the lands of the living and the dead. A man connects with the sun at high noon to break bread. A solar crown on the head spreads heat from the chest to the leg. With a keg of ambrosia, churning milky ocean, serving of almond stone soldiers, molded from clay into seven cathedrals of dismay, where we pray to order Ab K. Otic microscopic wattage that affects the mental optics of the cosmic man. Mahapurusha, fuchsia lotus petals settle in the dust after the rapture. Captured in the vortex, Amun-Ra sword flex the syntax of technology, recognize the black man's originality, the fallacies of the Pharisees, open by the kinetic key, the door to falsity swings open, groping in the dark, I see a slick dude, who tried to trick you with information taken from the Hyksos, across the Black Sea to Galilee, eventually becomes Judaism, the degree of Christism, the double fish religion, Piscesism, division from the traditional pre-dynastic Egyptian magic, havoc from torrential downpours, found moors, sailing in the cardinal directions, reflections of a light source, the illuminated bright horse, who gallops into the sunset, despite the opposite force, those trapped in the labyrinth will never know the significance of myth, destined to be devoured by the Minotaur Sith.
Back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight on the broadcast. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. And glad you could be with us here tonight for another live edition of the broadcast. If you'd like to join in with other listeners who are listening to the show right now and enjoying there in the chat room. The chat room is located at theglobalreality.com, and come on in and chat at your own risk with the rest of the crazy moon bats in there. So thanks everybody for staying up late with us tonight. We're going to see if I have a few emails to get into here in this segment. Then we're going to get into the Lost Book of Enki for you here tonight in our continued series of reading. So again, thanks for staying up late with us. Again, support our work if you can. We don't have commercials or anything else. We do need your support right now at theglobalreality.com, and you use the donate button there. We also have a P.O. box now, so you can send in checks if you for your convenience. We have had people ask for that, but yet had a lot of people saying, you know, I'm going to send a big amount, this and the other, and then, you know, I got the P.O. box, and then, you know, we've gotten a few things. Nothing big, a few bucks here and there, but I just, every time I do that, I got, oh, you need to have phones. You need to have phones. I got phone lines. I had that shit for months. Nobody ever called. Unbelievable. One of our listeners last night sent me this clip from a recent Alex Jones show where the guest was someone named Jeff Charlotte. And in about two minutes, 12 seconds, Jeff Charlotte says something very interesting. He says, he's telling a story. He says, this happened way back in 2011. And he goes on, you know, he goes on and just doesn't correct himself or anything else. The way he says it, it sounds like he's talking from the perspective of somebody who's, you know, jumped between, you know, parallel times and parallel worlds. I don't know. Very odd, interesting thing, but thanks to our listener for pointing that out to me. Another listener sent a message last night. We were talking about the word succor. I was like, what are they talking about here? You know, succor, sucking you off. Is that what it means? Because every time, you know, they always, in the Lost Book of Enki, every time they use this word succor, S-U-C-C-O-R, they always, you know, use it in reference to a woman. It's always in reference to a woman, not to a man. You know, she's very crafty in the arts of healing and succor. And so somebody sent me the definition. I said, what does it mean, you know, succor? She's good at sucking you off. That's the only thing I think of. I mean, well, why not? Everything else in the Lost Book of Enki's been, you know, pouring semen into the womb and you know, Enki's going around banging everything that'll, you know, get his dick wet. I mean, but apparently it means help, relief, aid, or assistance. So I thought, well, that's odd because it says that, you know, healing and succor would be the same thing by the definition. So thank you for pointing that out to me, listener, but I'm sticking by my original thing. I think it's, I think it means a suck off personally, but that's just me. this is from Courtney. Hello, I just found your show and I love it. Love your cussing, your bluntness, and the deep alien voice that you did on one of your shows.
Suck Satan's cock.
Maybe you usually do it, so I'll look forward to it. If I had more money, I would support you, but I am in the shitty poorhouse. Keep up the realness. I love it. Ha, ha, ha. All right. Thank you, Courtney. Somebody sent me a message. Want to know, just an odd message. Can you tell me all, big bold letters, all the dates you have interviewed Chris Everard, including years? Thank you. Yeah, that's random. Yeah, I interviewed Chris Everard twice. I think both times were in 2008. Yeah, I saw somebody put, there's some date somebody had posted on some one of my interviews, and they posted online on YouTube, and it said 2009. That's an incorrect date. I think the only time I interviewed Everard was 2000. I interviewed him once on TrueNet Radio in 2008, and then I interviewed him again on New Year's Eve. 2008 going into 2009. That was on Oracle. So there you go. Hope that helps. If you need those files, you can probably email me and I can probably send them to you if you need them, listener, whoever there was. This is from Serge. Hey, Josh, the August 1st Moonbat show rang true to me. Your mentioning of the word conditioning rings true. Having read thinkers like Jiddu Krishnamurti and Eckhart Tolle, these sages help us break that conditioning, which is extremely hard to do. I have adopted these teachings from these thinkers. It's hard, and most of us fear the unknown, especially change. Krishnamurti was discovered in the early 1900s by Helena Blavatsky in India. He was heralded as some kind of messiah, although Krishnamurti was well-educated in the UK while under the guidance of Helena Petrona Blavatsky. He left the Theosophical group and went solo, moved to California. You can find some of his lectures on YouTube. Perhaps you have read him before. His books and lectures are essentially manuals on deprogramming. Yes, I've read some of Krishnamurti's stuff before. Very interesting stuff there. So thank you, listener. Let's see what else we have. This is from Lori. She says, first, I want to say I don't listen to your show live. I have to catch it on YouTube because my connection is slow, so I'm a day behind. Anyways, I just wanted to mention something. Now that you're reading the Lost Book of Enki, and also have seen the elongated skulls that have been found in the past, it would be a good time to watch the movie The Planet of the Apes again, the one that was made a couple of years back, the Tim Burton one. I find when I learn new things, this particular movie has so many things that in it that they are telling us. You mentioned a while back, why don't they make a movie about the Anunnaki? They did. Planet of the Apes. Tonight, as I watched, I noticed the gorillas' heads are elongated and the helmets they all wear. I also picked out more things like how towards the end, one of the gorillas said that, quote, they have been lying to us all this time. Everything we know is a lie, or something to that effect. Anyways, it's a good movie to have at home to keep revisiting after several months of researching. And then she says, P.S., I forgot to mention when the guy is leaving the planet has several moons. Don't they say that Nibiru has seven moons? I saw at least four, but it was on TV and not my DVD that I was watching. We'll have to check it again, Lori. Yeah, interesting stuff there, Lori. Again, you can always send emails anytime to me, globalrealityshow@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to read those for you on the show here whenever we are live. We are continuing tonight. As soon as I find my spot. 197 was where we left off last night. I just have to scroll back to where it's at. The Lost Book of Enki. We had just begun tablet number 9 last night. And the firstborn in succession to the bloodlines of Nibiru has just told Enki that he's going to have an earthling as a wife. So that's where we're picking up here tonight. Ninki pondered her son's words. And the maiden, does she appreciate your gaze? She asked Marduk. Indeed she does, mother, he said to Marduk said to Ninki. This is not the matter to consider, Enki said with a raised voice. If our son shall do this, then with his spouse, he would never go to Nibiru. His princely rights on Nibiru he will forever forsake. To this, Marduk, with a bitter laughter, responded, my rights on Nibiru are non-existent. Even on Earth, my rights as a firstborn have been trampled. This indeed is my decision. From prince, a king on earth, to become the master of this planet. Let it so be, Ninki said. Let it so be, Enki also said. They summoned Madishal, the bride's brother of Marduk, and told them their wish. Humbled but overwhelmed with joy, Madishal was. Let it so be, he said. When Enlil was told, he was seized with fury. It was one thing for the father with earthlings intercourse to have. It is another matter for the son to espouse an earthling and bestow lordship on her. When Ninma was told of the matter, she was greatly disappointed. Marduk could have chosen any maiden, even one of my own daughters by Enki. Half-sisters, as is the royal custom, he could have made a spouse of, Ninma said. With fury, Enlil to Anu on Nibiru of the matter beamed up the words of the matter. Too far this behavior has gone. It cannot be allowed, Anu, the king, said to Enlil. On Nibiru, Anu summoned the counselors, and with urgency he discussed the matter. In the rule books of such a matter, no rule they found. Anu, the savants, also summoned to discuss the matters of consequence with them. On Nibiru, Adapa, the maiden's progenitor, could not stay, they said to Anu. Therefore, to return to Nibiru with her, Marduk must forever be banned. Indeed, having to become accustomed to Earth cycles, even without her, Marduk's return might be impossible. The savant said to Anu, and with that, the counselors too agreed. Let the decision to Earth be beamed, Anu was saying. Marduk can marry, but on a prince on Nibiru, he shall be no more. The decision by Enki and Marduk was accepted. Enlil, too, accepted the word from Nibiru and bowed. Let there be a wedding celebration in Eridu. Let it be, Nenki said to them. In the Eden, Marduk and his bride cannot stay, Enlil, the commander, announced. Let us to Marduk and his bride make a wedding gift. A domain of their own, away from the Eden, in another land, so Enki did say to Enlil. Of Marduk being sent away, Enlil, with consent to himself, was thinking. To what land, of what domain are you speaking? Enlil said to his brother Enki. A domain above the Abzu, in the land that the upper sea reaches. One that by waters from the Eden is separated, that by ships can be reached. So Enlil did say to Enki. Let it so be, Enlil said. In Eridu, a wedding celebration for Nenki and Marduk and Serpanit was arranged. Her people, by the sound of a copper drum, announced the ceremony. With 7 tambourines, the bride of the sisters presented her spouse. A great multitude of civilized earthlings in Eridu assembled, like a coronation to them the wedding was. Young Anunnaki also attended. A Gigi from Mars, Lamu, also came in great numbers. To celebrate our leader's wedding of Nibiru and Earth, a union, to witness we came. And so did the Gigi arrive in large numbers. Now, this is the account of the Agigi, and you might remember if you forget who the Agigi were, they were the workers on Mars. This is the account of how the Agigi abducted the daughters of the Earthlings, and how afflictions followed, and Zisirda was oddly born. In a great number, the Agigi came to Earth from Mars. Only 1/3 of them stayed on Mars, and 200 came to Earth. To be with their leader Marduk and to celebrate the wedding was their explanation. Unbeknownst to Enki and Enlil was their secret. To abduct and have conjugation was their plot. This is bullshit. We're up here on Mars working our balls off on this goddamn red dust planet. And Enki and Enlil are down there on Earth, you know, creating themselves a whole hybrid race of fuck slaves. And we're up here dry as a bone. We're getting no pussy, no ass at all. We want to go down to Earth and dip our spoon in the pudding. And we're just telling them, oh yeah, we came for the wedding. Yeah, right. We're coming to eat some ass. Unbeknownst to Enki and Enlil was their secret. To abduct and have conjugation was their plot. Unbeknownst to the leaders on Earth, a multitude of the Agigi on Mars got together. What is permitted to Marduk should not be deprived from us, to each other they said. Enough of this suffering and loneliness and of not ever having offspring. During their comings and goings between Mars and Earth, the daughters of the Earthlings, the Adapite females, they were called. They saw them and lusted after them. Yeah, the Nephilim mating with the daughters of man because they thought they were beautiful. This sounded familiar to anybody else but me. Come, let us choose wives from among the Adapite females and beget children from them. One among them, Shamgaz, his name was, became the leader. Even if none of you agrees, I alone shall do the deed. If a penalty for this deed shall be imposed, I alone for all of you shall bear it. One by one, others joined in the plot. And together by the oath, they swore. By the time of Marduk's wedding, 200 of them on the landing place descended. Upon the great platform in the Cedar Mountains, they came down. From there to Eridu, they journeyed among the toiling earthlings they passed. Together with the earthling throng in Eridu, they arrived. After the wedding ceremony of Marduk and Serpanit had taken place, the others gave a prearranged signal to Shamgaz. Each one of them seized an earthling maiden and by force abducted them. To the landing place in the Cedar Mountains, the Agigi went with the females. Into a stronghold, they made the place and issued a challenge to the leaders. Enough of deprivation and not having offspring. The Adapite daughters to marry, we wish. Your blessing to this you must give, else by fire all on earth we will destroy. Alarmed the leaders were of Marduk, the Agigi commander, they demanded him to take charge. So they're threatening to, you know, burn the earth to a crisp with probably nuclear weapons if they don't get some ass. These guys are serious, man. They've been stuck up there on Mars, no pussy would speak of for years. And they're saying, look, you don't get some ass quick. We're going to torch this whole motherfucker. And we know, we wonder why we're all sex crazy addicts, don't we? We wonder where it came from. Well, here you go, folks. It's in our genes. If in the matter a solution I must seek, then in my heart, the agreement with the Agigi I will make. What I have done from them cannot be deprived. Enki and Nenma shook their heads and with begrudging agreement they voiced. Only Enlil was enraged without pacification. One evil deed has been followed by another. Fornication from Enki and Marduk has been adopted by the Agigi. Our pride and sacred mission to the winds have been abandoned. By our own hands, this planet shall be overrun with earthling multitudes. See, there's another indicator that, you know, their earthling population are getting out of their hands really quickly. With much disgust, Enlil was speaking. Let the Agigi and their females depart from Earth. On Mars, conditions have become unbearable. Surviving is not possible, so Marduk did say to Enki. In the Eden, they cannot remain, Enlil shouted with anger. With much disgust, he left the gathering. In his heart, things against Marduk and his earthlings, Enlil was plotting. So, see, and Lil said, if you don't fuck this shit, you know, we fucked up. We went too far. Now all my people are fighting over this. I say we just end it all. Fuck them all. Kill them all. You know, let the gods sort them out. Let Anu, you know, kill them all. Let Anu sort them out. Hell yeah. Upon the landing platform in the Cedar Mountains, the Agigi were secluded with their females. Marduk and Serpanit. His spouse also had children. Asar and Satu were the first two sons' names. To the domain above the Abzu, him and Serpanit granted. Marduk invited the Agigi to dwell in the two cities that his sons had built, and Marduk summoned the Agigi. Some of the Agigi and their offspring to the domain in the dark-hued land came. On the landing platform in the Cedar Mountains, Shamgaz and others did remain. To the forest east lands, lands of high mountains, some of their offspring went. How Marduk of Earthlings, his strength increases, Ninurta carefully observed. What are Enki and Marduk scheming? The earth will be inherited by the Earthlings, Enlil said to Ninurta. Go, the offspring of Cain, find. Find with them a domain of your own space and prepare. To the other side of Earth, Niberto went, the offspring of Cain he found. How tools to make and play music he taught them. How in mining to engage and smelt and refine he showed them. How to build rafts of balsam trees he showed them. To cross a great sea he guided them. In a new land, they established a domain, a city with twin towers they were built. A city with twin towers. That's funny. Considering they, you know, they've, a lot of people have said that that's what the twin towers represented truly, was Enlil and Enki, or Jacquin and Boaz, either one. Just interesting that, you know, they'd be sent to go build a city with twin towers. My goodness. A domain beyond the sea, it was the mountain land of the new bond of heaven and earth. It was not. In the Eden, Lumach was the workmaster. Enforcing quotas was his duty. His task was to reduce the earthling's rations. His spouse was Batnash, the daughter of Lumach's father's brother she was. Of a beauty outstanding her was, and Enki was charmed by her beauty. Oh, shit, here we go. Enki's going to stick it where it doesn't belong. One more again. Enki did not send to his word to his son Marduk. Please summon Lumach to your domain. There, teach the earthlings how to build a city. And when Lumach to the domain of Marduk was summoned, to the house of Ninmah and Sherbak, the haven city, his spouse Batnash he brought. From the angry earthling masses, protected and safe to be. Thereafter, Enki, his sister Ninmah and Sherbak was quick to visit. On the roof of a dwelling, when Batnash was bathing, Enki took hold of her by her loin. And kissed her. And into her womb he poured his semen. And I told you, he was about to get his dick wet again. I could smell it. I knew it was coming around the corner. Jesus Christ. This guy didn't know when to quit. And look, you guys may have been, you know, pros at you know, genetic manipulation and nuclear weapons and flying around in spacecraft and being gods and all this stuff. But let me tell you something. You guys are shitty at pulling out. I mean, some god you are. You don't even know how to pull out properly. Two words, Enki. Pull out. My God, these motherfuckers are out of control. I mean, we wonder why we've got, you know, overpopulation and why we've got, you know, these elite running around that believe they're bloodlines of these Anunnaki. Fucking, you know, no wonder they're running around. These guys have just—they've been fucking since the time they got here. Bam, 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 bam. We wonder why the fucking population of these guys are going around. Oh, let's we need a slave race to mine our gold. Oh, well, there's something to get my dick wet with. Hold on. Oh, yeah, about that gold. Oh, shit, fuck it. This is too good. Fuck Nibiru, where? Ah, fuck it. I'm staying here to get my dick wet. Fuck all that. This shit is, I mean, 5,000-year-old Sumerian porn. You got to love it. I knew he was going to pour the, I mean, I love how they say it, poured the semen into a room. I every time I read that, I get a picture of, you know, this 8-foot reptile standing there with a fucking, like a beer pitcher full of, you know, white liquid, just pouring it between some woman's legs, you know, or just screaming bloody murder. Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Batnash was, of course, with child. Her belly was truly swelling.
Suck Enki's cock.
To Lumach from Sherbak, word was sent. Return to the Eden, a son you have. To the Eden, to Sherbak, Lumach returned. And to him, Batnash showed the son. White as the snow was his skin, The color of wool was his hair. Like the skies were his eyes in a brilliance. Blonde hair, blue eyes. There you go. Amazed and frightened was Lumach. To his father, Madashal, he hurried. A son unlike an earthling to Bat-Nash was born. By this birth, I am greatly puzzled. Madashal came to Bat-Nash, and he saw the newborn baby boy and was amazed by his likeness. Is one of the Agigi the boy's father of Bat-Nash? Madashal demanded the truth. To Lumach, your spouse, whether this boy is his son, please reveal the truth. None of the Agigi is the boy's father. Upon my life, I swear. So Bat-Nash did answer to him. To his son Lumach, Madashal did turn. A calming arm he put on his shoulder. A mystery the boy is, but in his oddness, an omen to you is revealed. Unique he is. For a task unique by destiny, he was chosen. What that task is, I know not. In time appropriate, known it shall become. So Madashal was saying to his son Lumach, what was transpiring on earth? In those days, the sufferings on earth were increasing. The days grew colder and the skies were holding back their rains. Fields, crops diminished. In the fields, the lambs and sheepfolds were few. Let the son born to you, unusual as he is, be an omen that a respite is coming. So Madashal did say to his son Lumach, let respite be his name. To Madashal and Lumach, Bat-Nash, her son's secret did not reveal. Zisudra, he of long bright life days, she called him. In Shurabak, he was raised. Ninma on the child, her protection and affection was bestowed. Of much understanding, he was endowed and was provided with knowledge by her. Enki greatly adored the child, and he taught him the writings of Adapa, the priestly rites of how to observe and perform the young boy as a young man he learned. Aha, there it is again. I love how they put that in bold letters every time. Remember, we had that before. Again, passing on the priestly rites. This is where we had the first formations of the priestly classes. This knowledge that we talk about secret societies having, and the knowledge that we talk about the priest class having, and you know what the Vatican truly holds from years and years and years of absorbing all religions into their power structure. Well, that's it. That information, you know, information, sacred mathematics, growing crops, how to set up a society, where mankind truly comes from, our true history, all of it, had its origins in the first priests being the direct sons of Enki and the Anunnaki. That's why all the secret society iconography goes all the way back to that. It just blows my mind that it's taken until now for any of us to be able to find this and understand this. You know, it's been here right in our face for years, but it just seems that it's sort of been left out of the conversation in the mainstream of the research community. He observed how to perform the priestly rites, and the boy learned them as a young man. In the 110th Shar, Zisudra was born. In Shurabak, he grew up and espoused Imzara, and she bore him three sons. In his days, the sufferings on earth intensified. Plagues and starvations afflicted the earth. Now, this is the account of Earth's tribulations before the deluge. And so we'll leave off right there. Page 205, is where we'll pick up tomorrow in the account of Earth's tribulations before the deluge. So this is going to be getting into what we already pretty much know is coming, which is, you know, Enlil saying, look, enough, you know, we fucked this up. We caused this problem. We've created these earthlings that are overrunning this planet, and you know, and then you have the deluge, the great flood. You have Enki and the whole where the real story of Noah and the Ark came from. He builds a ship, puts the DNA in it. I'm sure that's where this is going, but we'll pick up on that next time. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. As always, I am your host, Josh Reeves. I want to thank everybody out there for continuing to support our work and tune into the radio broadcast and listen to the archives and watch the little mini films and put them out. And I am working my best to get out, have a secret out for you here in the next couple of weeks. So definitely be looking for that. Little previews and stuff coming out. We do need your support right now. TheGlobalReality.com. Please donate if you can. Chip in there. Use the donate button. Dago76@yahoo.com is my direct PayPal address. We also have a P.O. Box if you want to mail something in. But please support our work, folks. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great night. Take care.